Standing, I'd like to read from Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 for our text. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently seek, O God, for Christ to be formed in us. And believing that for this purpose you have come down in this hour to bring forth a predestinated children of God. As Brother Brown called it, impregnating us with your life. Bringing forth sons and daughters of God in the very image of the firstborn son. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to that process which is taking place. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to be aware of what Christ did in that hour and what he's doing, has done in this hour and what he is doing in each and every one of us, comparing our lives with his life, for he is our pattern. And so, Lord, we just ask you, continue the forming, O God. Protect and shape and mold that character of Christ which you long to have in your children more than we long to have it. And we pray that, it, knowing, Father, that it is you in us working to will and to do, we pray, Father, that the will would be complete. Our will would be your will. Your will be our will, God. That we would surrender our will as Jesus did to your will, that you might work then through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to continue our study of Christ is a mystery of God revealed. And to begin with, I'm just going to read from paragraph 225 through paragraph 228. Now, there's a whole lot of what Brother Branham says in these paragraphs, but I want to read first just to get the flavor of what he's saying here and point out some outstanding comments that he makes and then tie them into the scriptures. In paragraph 225, he says, "Thanks be to the living God who created the heavens and the earth and all that's in the midst. No wonder he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He that was, which is, and shall come, the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He's all and in all." And another quote, I'm not going to bring it out today, but Brother Brown was talking about that he is the root and the offspring. He is he's the all of it. And we were in him before the foundations of the world. And so, if we were in him, then the very life that was in that root and offspring should reflect itself through us. In paragraph 226 says, "His presence in the individual with a personal, a vindication of himself expressing himself. The living word that's promised for the day expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God." Look, only in an individual, never in a group, an individual. Not in a group, his identification is with an individual. You get that? Not with a Methodist, not with a Baptist, not with a Presbyterian, not with a Lutheran, not with a Pentecostal, but as an individual. Now, I'm sure that many might believe that he's talking about himself here. That Brother Branham is only talking about himself. He's the individual that God's identifying himself with. But that's not what he says. He says in you. That's what he says here. He says, only in an individual, never in a group, an individual. It's expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. You. You. That's what we're having a hard time getting through is, look, we've already had the wave sheaf, right? But what about the rest of the grain? What about the rest of the grain? You see, for years, I took that stand myself. I said, okay, in an individual, whenever Brother Brown's talking about an individual, he's talking about himself. Listen, Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He said, there's another that bears witness of me, the Father which dwelleth in me. Amen? God comes for individuals, plural, never a group. God expresses himself always through individuals, and we have seen that in every age. So he's not talking about just one individual here, but individuals, plural. That is why he follows up this with the very next statement he makes in 227 or 226. He says, I'll take one and leave one. That doesn't sound like he's talking about himself, does it? I'll separate them. That's right. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one and I'm going to leave one. There'll be two in the bed. I'll take one and I'm going to leave one. It's not a group. It's a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God filled with the Holy Ghost. So surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. And the Holy Spirit living its life, pulsating. Every heartbeat is God. Pulsating through him, showing the personal vindication of the word itself, expressing itself to the people and to the world. Now notice the words Brother Bram uses here. He speaks of a pregnated child of God. We're going to get more into that in just a moment, but before we do, I want you to notice he uses the term personal vindication concerning the life of God, expressing itself out from the pregnated child of God. And this word personal vindication means, it means vindication in the person. Now I know, and I'm fully aware that within this message circle, we use the word vindication only for a prophet, but that's not the correct usage of the word vindication. We use it in terms of God vindicating his prophet, and that's correct usage. However, it's not the only usage. But if we deny the proper usage of the word, then we must deny that God also vindicates his own word. And that God also vindicates his presence. And that God vindicates his own seed. Thus the word vindicate simply means to prove. And so then we must ask, what is the application of the usage of this word? Brother Branham uses it when he speaks of God backing up that person, whether a prophet or a saint of God. According to Webster's dictionary, the word vindication simply means to show that someone, that's, we'll say his prophet or his a believer, or something, that's his word, that has been criticized or doubted is actually true. It's actually reasonable. So it speaks of proving to be correct what others are doubting. And this word can be applied not only for a prophet of God, but for anyone, any person who takes a stand for God's word. Because God will prove his word with that individual and in that individual in the midst of all sorts of doubt and unbelief. Then Brother Brown adds, 227, he says, how can the world blindly walk by something like that? Just as the same as the Catholics walk by St. Patrick. Now, Patrick wasn't a messenger, was he? And didn't recognize him till after he was dead. Same thing he done to St. Martin. They didn't recognize it. Same thing they done in all the ages. The same thing they done with Joan of Arc, a woman. The Catholic Church burned her for a witch because she was spiritual. About 150 years after that, they dug up the body of those priests. And they throw them in to do penance into the same river. Notice that he uses the term vindication. Then he speaks of many saints throughout the ages. Some were messengers, but others were not. Some were women, just as Joan of Arc was. And it is God showing or proving those people that they took a stand for his word in the face of all the doubters. Therefore, his use of the word vindication is what God does in backing up his word in an individual. Doesn't matter who it is. Could be a little child. You understand? God backs up his word. He vindicates his word. If his word is living in you, God will vindicate you or the word in you. You understand? So our term of the use vindication for only Brother Branham is a farce. He was vindicated, there's no doubt about it. But when we only use something and claim something for only one man, we blind ourselves to what God has for all of us. And I'm not saying, well, look, I'm up here to stand here, and I want you all to see I'm vindicated. What I'm saying is, if God's life is not vindicating through me, through you, through any of us, then I doubt we have that life. You understand? That's what I'm saying. if the nature of the Holy Spirit is not reflecting through your life to the world, then do you really have the Holy Spirit? Because he said, the things that I do, the nature that I have, you will have also. Every seed after its own kind. Then in speaking of the doubters, he says, in paragraph 228, it goes right by them. And they don't recognize it till it's gone. It only picks up the predestinated seed that God predestinated before the foundations of the earth. The same thing come through in the days of Noah. Same thing come through in the days of Moses, days of Elijah, days of the prophets, days of Jesus, on down through and to this very hour. Notice he lays out a whole bunch of people through the ages. The pregnated person with the seed of God, the word in there manifesting itself. I should say the word in there. You should do that. So surrender to the will of God that the word and the word alone manifests itself, and this person is a prisoner. It's to an individual. Every time there was multitudes, they were mixed. You had mixed multitudes. Now notice he tells us that that person, whoever it might be, that individual, who is so surrendered to God's word and his word alone, that person who becomes a prisoner to God's word is the one that God will stand behind, and that is the one God vindicates or proves to be true. Now notice right after he says, I will take one and leave one, he describes the individual that is born again and filled with the Spirit of God. He says, it is a personal vindication of one, a pregnated child of God. Two, filled with the Holy Spirit. Three, so surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. And four, the Holy Spirit living its life is pulsating through him. Showing the personal, five, personal vindication of the word itself expressing itself to the people and to the world. Now here we see Brother Bram using the same word expression that the Apostle Paul used in describing this life of God that has been injected into the believer like an egg and sperm coming together and being formed within the believer as a child forming itself within the womb. That's why we read from Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul talking about Christ being formed in you. Notice the language of life here, until Christ be formed in you. The Apostle John speaks the same language concerning the very life of God forming itself in you, and we see it in John 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And this life that was in Christ was intended to be released from him, so that you and I might also receive that life and express that life and manifest that life in our bodies as well, as we see in the following scriptures. In 1 John 1 and 2, he says, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, John says, and we bear witness, and we show it unto you. Huh? Wait a minute now. The life was manifested, yeah. And we've seen it, yes. And we're witnesses, yes. And we also, we show it unto you. That eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And somehow, some way, God has made it possible that we might manifest it unto you. We might show it unto you. That's my prayer. My prayer for this church. As Brother Branham said, from Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, he said, I'll give you my estimation of what I think the closest thing to an evidence that a man is a Christian than anything that I know of. You know what it is? It's a travail of soul. A person that's always so hungering and thirsting for God. They just simply, day and night, they just can't stand it. They got to do something for God. They're full of love, and they're just travailing all the time. I'd rather have a church that had such a burden on their hearts for prayer that they would just stay at this altar and would be here day and night and in their houses was constantly in prayer and humble and trying to get people to come to God and stay right before God, humble with travail of soul. I'd rather have that than anything else. Hallelujah. That's an expression of God. That's a manifestation. That's a manifested Son of God. That's a child that's conformed to the image of the firstborn son who travailed himself day and night for you and I. Notice John says that same life, that eternal life that was manifested in the Son of God is now manifested in us as well, that you might receive it and that it might manifest in you. Again, and going back to the Apostle Paul, we read in Galatians 2 and 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, yet it's not I that's living, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm living by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself for me. The life is now manifesting itself through me, Paul says. And then he says, toward the end of his ministry, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. Can we say that about ourselves? I hope and trust that we can. And again, the Apostle Paul teaches us in 2 Corinthians 4 and 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What's that? Marks of crucifixion. Marks of rejection. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. God wanting your flesh to manifest his God life. Hallelujah. And then back to John, in 1 John 3 and verse 9. Whosoever then is born of God, has been pregnated by God, does not initiate sin, which is unbelief. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because God cannot sin, because he's born of God. So he's talking about a birth. God life being birthed in the individual, and when we receive this God life in us, it changes our nature and the way that we conduct our lives. And he says, when we are born of God life, we can no longer initiate unbelief in our lives. We don't go looking for it. It may happen, it may come about, you may stumble, but you're not out there looking for it, because sin is just unbelief. A man sins because he doesn't believe. From the mark of the beast, Brother Brown said, he that sins, what is sin? Unbelief. I want somebody to tell me one definition of sin besides unbelief. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's right. You don't even get the first. What if committing adultery is not sin? Smoking cigarettes and drinking is not a sin. That's the attributes of unbelief. If you was a believer, you wouldn't do those things. See, that's right. Does a man steal because he's a thief, or does stealing make him a thief? You understand? I mean, look, a chicken's a chicken because he's born a chicken. A thief is a thief because he's born a thief. You're born in sin, shaped iniquity, come forth the world speaking lies. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Again, we see in 1 John 5 and 18, we know that whosoever is born of God, that means impregnated of God, God forming in him, whosoever is born of God sins not, disbelieves not. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. And not only will the believer, the one who is born of God, not disbelieve willfully, but when the flesh strains and the pulls to enter into sin or express or manifest unbelief, the Bible teaches us that we who are truly believers, we will overcome that pull. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And that pull is nothing more than just a pull on this flesh. 1 John is pull of the world. 1 John 5 and 4, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So who's doing the overcoming? It's God working in you to will and to do. And in 1 John 5, we find out that only those who are born of God by his Spirit can believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's what the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. In other words, you've got to be born of God to believe that Jesus is the Christ. And everyone that loveth him and begat loveth him that is begotten of him. And we know that you cannot believe that Jesus is the Christ unless you're born of his Spirit. You must be born again to be a genuine believer. For the scripture says, no man can call Jesus the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. And from his sermon, Who Is This? Brother Rastin, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I believe it because the word says so. That's true. But the word says so, that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ until you have received the Holy Ghost. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, then I must have the Holy Ghost. Do you? Well, I say that Jesus is the Christ. Every Baptist says that. Every Catholic says that. Are they born again? No. You see, it's not these words. Except by the Holy Ghost. How do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost is living here. He's alive. He's taken over my life. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that we cannot even understand the kingdom of God until we are born again of God's Spirit. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answering said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answering, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now notice Jesus in verse 3, he says, unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, he says, unless you're born again, you will never enter into the kingdom of God. Now Brother Branham tells us in Jehovah Jireh part 3, he says, you might intellectually think that you do, but a man cannot see God until he's born again. Remember Jesus said, he said, "I must go away, but in the world will not see me no more. But you will see me." How? Because he's in here. He's taken over my life. And I may be the only one that can see him in here. You may be the only one that can see him in there. You understand what I mean? I hope others do. And eventually they will if God truly has taken over in there. But you know it. You know what a scoundrel you are. You know what a dirtbag you are or were. As Paul said, you know, he lists off a whole bunch of sinful things. He said, and such were some of you. But now, you've been sanctified by the washing of water by the word. You've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You see? So Brother Ram said, you might actually think, intellectually think that you do, but a man can't see God until he's born again. See doesn't mean you don't see with your eyes, you look with your eyes. But see means to understand. You look right at it and say, "I don't see it." You mean that you don't understand it. You'll never know what we're talking about until you're born again. You've never had that experience. And from his sermon, Seeing God, Brother Bram said, "How blind a person must be that can't see life. And think that many people doesn't see life. Now we might see it, but the word see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand it. Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. In other words, you be looking at something and you say, "I don't see it." You mean you don't understand it. To see, what we call, that's to look at. But to see in the Bible terminology is to understand what we're looking at to be revealed. And that's the problem we see so much in Christianity today. Even in this message, we see it. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit knows that most people who claim to have the Holy Ghost don't have it. Because by their fruits you shall know them. And the scripture plainly teaches us, how can you know the things of God except the Spirit of God be in you? And the very fact that people will willfully turn down the doctrine and the life shown to us by this message, it shows they're not truly born again. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, he says, "But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Now we all know God knows, right? Well, Paul says, God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now remember the word reveal. It means manifested truth. God hath manifested it to us in a way that we caught the vision. As Brother Bram said, you caught the vision. You see? And there is only one, the Spirit, and that is God's very own Spirit. So Paul says, for the Spirit, God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then he says in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So what he's saying is, look, the purpose, the very purpose God gives you, his Holy Spirit, is that you might know the things of God, that you might receive the mind of Christ. Now notice he's telling us that there is no way that we will ever know the things of God unless we have been born again with the Spirit of God, because only the Spirit of God knows the things of God. "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches," verse 13, "but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." In other words, the Spirit of God is not so interested in the natural things as much as he's interested in the spiritual things. Compare spiritual with spiritual, and compare spiritual with spiritual. Then if he's comparing spiritual with spiritual, he's comparing spirit with spirit. Right? Isn't that what John said? Try the spirits to see if they be in the faith. In the book of Exodus, Jesus said, except a man be born again, this is the book of Exodus, Brother Bram's sermon, the book of Exodus. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. There's no way of understanding it until you're born again. And then God reveals himself to you. And then you know that you've passed from death unto life. Because no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. See, the only way that you'll ever know that Jesus is the Christ is when the Holy Spirit personally witnesses to you that he is the resurrected Lord Jesus. No matter what he would do, what kind of signs, what kind of miracles, you'll never know it until your personal experience with God. You say, well, I believe it because the Bible said so. Well, that's good, but the Bible is true. It knows it. Well, the preacher said so. Perhaps he knows it. Mother said so. Well, she might know it. But what do you know about it? You'll never know it until it's revealed to you individually by the Holy Spirit. And then by accepting it, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, born a second time. From his message, Expectations, Brother Bram says, now God is not known by intellectual faith. God is known by the experience of a new birth only alone. Jesus said, except a man be born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Now, any Bible scholar here knows that the word see there does not mean to look with your eyes. It means to understand. Well, you say, look at something, or others say, I don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. You're looking right at it. You look with your eyes, but understanding with your heart. Okay, that's right. You can't understand it. And no man can know nothing of God until first you're born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says so. No man can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Spirit is the only thing. You can say, well, I believe he's the Son of God. If you haven't been born again, you're taking somebody else's word for it. You say, the Bible said so. That's right. The Bible's right. But what about you? You say, well, the preacher said so, the preacher's right, but what about you? Mother said so, mother's right, but what about you? It's a personal experience of your own that you've got to be born again or you'll never understand God. And that, Brother Bram said, was a problem with this nation. He said, when I was over in Rome, he said, and there was a sign in the catacombs that says, American woman, please put on clothes to honor the dead. He said, the problem with this nation is that they base their experience, their own personal experience, on somebody else's experience. On Finney or Knox or Calvin or some of these other guys that were, you know, had come before them. And so they all look to that man. They're all looking to a man, to a man, to a man, to a man. And they don't have their own personal relationship. They don't have their own personal dying out. They have not been born again themselves. They just go to church. And they're trying to go in on the coattails of a man, whether it be William Branham or whether it be one of the many teachers that followed William Branham. And I just say that exclusively because there's been a lot of them. From Mission Talk, Brother Ram said, now, what is the gospel? It's the word. The gospel means good news. The good news is the Bible, but the Bible is the letter. The letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. So Paul said, the gospel come not through word only, but through the power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, the only way that the gospel could be preached then would be to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. Then, what's the next quotation? And is a conjunction. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not these signs may follow them. Not that they ought to follow them, but they shall follow them that believe. Then, strictly speaking, a man cannot qualify himself as a believer until this happens. No church can have the right of calling themselves a believing church until these signs has followed them. That's what Jesus said. What is it doing? It's making the word manifest. So these boys that call themselves, you know, believers.org and all this other stuff and believe the sign. Well, they're just pointing to a man who did believe, who was a believer. But what about you? Brother Bram said no person can call himself a believer. And no Christian church can call himself a believing church unless these signs are following them that believe. Now, I'm not saying you've got to have them on a daily basis. But I am saying this, God will acknowledge you because he said the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. There's got to be some time in your life, brother, sister, that you know that there's been a witness in here. And a witness means an evidence. A witness is called on the stand to evidence, or be a proof or an evidence that something actually took place. And the Holy Spirit in you is a witness that you have been born again. And that he is living your life for you. Now listen, brothers and sisters, until your life is one with God and one with his word, and his word is living in harmony within you, and as life is pulsating through your own heart, you cannot say that you're truly a believer. Those are tough words, but that's what Brother Branham is saying here. He is telling you that words, mere words, are not enough. There must be a confirmation of the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you are a son or daughter of God. And that's exactly what Paul tells us in Romans 8. In Romans 8 and 8, he says, So then they that are into self cannot please God. But you are not in self, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of unbelief, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and remember, that's the creator of the heavens and earth. Brother Branham believed it so much that he said, let there be squirrels there. And God created the squirrels. Noah built an ark because he believed it so much. Elijah said, they thought the gourds were poison, so he said, put a little bit of the salt into the water. Now it's eat. These are men who believed God. They believed God. And God went to work on their behalf. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of unbelief, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's God. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that's dwelling in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to self to live after self. For if you live after self, you shall surely die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, he's speaking of, there's only one the Spirit, and that's God's Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now notice the Apostle Paul is telling us that you, if you have truly been born again, and the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that it will make alive your mortal body, and his Spirit, the Spirit, God's Spirit, will bear witness with your spirit. There's got to be, look, when you have a witness is not, he's not deaf, dumb, and blind. He's there as a prover of you. If he's your witness to a certain event, he's there as evidence that you were there, that you experienced that, whatever that was, if it's a court trial, whatever situation. The witness is there to prove. And so he says, his Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. So how does God bear witness with your spirit? From the message, who is this? He says, his Spirit dwells in you to take his nature. You take his nature. His word is alive in you. Everything he said is amen. You'll not say the days of miracles is past and no such a thing as divine healing with the Spirit of the living God who wrote the Bible in you. You can't do it. He will vindicate himself. Then when you see such things going on, you'll not criticize that. You'll glorify God because the very Spirit that wrote them and is performing them will bear witness of them. That's the Spirit of the Church of the Living God, the living God living in the living church. And they are dead to sin and trespasses and have been awakening in his likeness and moving by his Spirit. Therefore, no matter what denomination you go to, if you are born of his Spirit, you have his nature in you. And when you have his nature in you and you find yourself doing things that you normally wouldn't do, that's not your spirit, that's his spirit, bearing witness in your spirit. From Hebrews chapter 2, part 1, he says, God always bears witness. Your life will bear witness. I don't know what your testimony is, but your life speaks so loud, your voice can't be heard. What you're living, your everyday life will testify what you are. God bears witness. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a seal, and the seal takes both sides of the paper. They see you standing here and see you when you go away, not only in church, but at everyday work. You're sealed on both sides, inside and out, by the joy that you have and by the life that you live. You're sealed in and outside. But you know you're saved, and the world knows that you're saved by the life that you live, for God bears witness. I'll just ask you one thing. When people are at work or whatever are telling dirty jokes, and you walk up to them, do they stop telling dirty jokes, or do they say, hey, you got one for us? You'll know. If your life is bearing witness, you'll know by the way that others react to your life. That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness. From leading of the Spirit, he says, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will always bear witness of the Word being the truth. Again, from discerning of the body of the Lord, he said, the best witness that we have, that we got, is the Holy Ghost, is when our spirit bears record with the Word. If we call ourselves Christians and say that we're filled with the Spirit, and we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit is poured out on the believers for all ages, and our spirit tells us that that's for another age, you're wrong. That's right. When the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if our spirit says, no, he's dead, he's gone on, there's something wrong. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And if our spirit pulls back from that, we haven't got the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Spirit will say amen to every word of God that he wrote. Now, intellectual knowledge will pull you away from it, but the Holy Spirit will say amen to his own word. He certainly will. And he's seeking and hunting and trying to find someone whom he can put himself into that he longs to find it. So how does the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, bear witness with our spirit? Because God will allow you to do what he does, showing that you have his nature, showing that it's his life that's living out your life for you. After all, the word bear witness means to give proof or evidence. So if God is in you, giving a witness to your spirit, then God is in you with an evidence, with a proof, backing up the fact that you and he are one, just like Christ and God were one, or Jesus and God were one. I don't understand why people who claim to be Christian, and especially those who claim to believe this message, have so much difficulty believing that God is the Word, and if that Word is living and abiding in you, then there has got to be more than just silly theology to identify what life is living and expressing itself out from you. That is why Brother Branham had no difficulty trusting God to do the same things in his ministry that he did in his son's ministry. Then why should you have any difficulty trusting God to do the supernatural? Now, I'm not here to try to teach you to be supernatural. I'm just trying to tell you, let go and let God. If you got a supernatural being in you, which is the Holy Ghost, and Brother Branham said, you have enough power to create worlds and go live on them, then just let go and let God. That is why any true believer who is filled with the Spirit of God know, and they will know that they are filled with the Spirit of God. They have seen the evidence in their own life of the supernatural God living and expressing his life in them. They know that they're born again, not because they sat under a right ministry. The minister has nothing to do with it. If you base your faith on what you have seen in another man's life, you're not even born again. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Christ because your church says so, you're not born again. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ because your pastor says so, you're not born again. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ because you've seen him come in and change your own life and live your life for you, then you're born again. And you've seen his spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are a son or daughter of God. That's why John 14:12 is so very, very important to us in this hour, because a believer is one who's been born again. Brother Branham made that very plain in a few messages ago. We read it to you where Brother Branham said, and we just read it in this message, where Brother Branham said, you know, that in John 14:12, the believer, he said, that's the one who's born again. That's the one who's filled with his spirit. You see? And no one can call Jesus the Christ unless they're born of his spirit. Because the believer is one who's been born again. And if you're born again of the Spirit of God, then the very nature of Christ is living itself out in you and through you. And in the very nature of Christ is living itself out in you, then the things that he did, you will do also. You can't help it. And until you know for certain that it is his Spirit doing the same things in you that he did in Jesus Christ, you're not born again. How can you not know it when another being has taken over your life? How can a possessed person of a demon not know he's possessed of a devil? And how could a person possessed by God not know they're possessed by God? When you see a spirit witnessing by bringing proofs and evidences of his having taken over your life, then you know as you're known. In John 5:30, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. He admitted it. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It doesn't matter what you say about yourself. What does God say about you through your life? There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. In other words, look, John came, bare witness of Jesus, and he said, that's fine. People can say all they want to. You can say all you want to about this brother, or this brother, or this brother, or this sister, whatever. But what does God say in that person, through their life? You see, Brother Branham, his whole desire was to please God. And he said, that's why they can't pick at my personal life. So they got to go pick at my doctrine. Can they pick at your personal life? If they so, then you haven't died. You haven't completely died. Oh, you might have died 5%, 10%, 50%. But have you died 100%? He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father gave me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him you believe not. The very first evidence that you're a believer, the very first work you can do as a believer. They said to Jesus, how can we do the works of God? He said, believe on him whom I have sent. That opens a channel. Just like John said, that which we've seen, that which we've heard, that which our hands have handled, the word of life. And now we, having received it, are showing you that you might also. As Brother Vail preached the Omega Reflection, which is one of his finest sermons he ever preached in 83 and 84, preach it twice. 20th century Omega Reflection. He said, when Moses came down from the mountain, his face glowed with a Shekinah presence. He had been in the presence of God 40 days. And he came down, he was so illuminated from the presence of God. People saw his face was just all aglow. And they said, put a veil over your face. It's hard for us to look at. We're fearful. People are always fearful of the unknown. They're always fearful of the supernatural. Why be afraid of that? Brother Vail said, if the people, according to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if the people would have only stood there long enough, the same thing that was reflecting off of Moses would have begun to reflect off of them. That's why we're to lay in the presence of the Son, to ripen. Because then we also will manifest and express through reflection the very same life, the very same nature, the very same nature of God. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither known his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him you believe not. But the problem is people fear peer pressure more than they want to please God. And that's the truth. As Brother Brown said in Christ is a Mystery, he said, you let your wife, you let your husband, you let your boss, you let your job, you let your children get it out of you. That means to interfere with what his spirit wishes to do in you and through you. And when you do that, it shows the preeminence is not yet there. It wasn't in Brother Branham in the beginning. He let his mother-in-law get it out of him. And God had to beat the snot out of him. I hope we don't have to go through that. But when you can step forward and believe no matter what anyone else says, then God will begin to manifest his life through your life. From position of in Christ, Brother Brown said, for you haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of, and the congregation's is adoption. Now, after that you're adopted, all right, after that you're adopted, you're placed, then you understand after the ceremony's been said and you've been put into the body correctly, you're a son, sure, a daughter. When you're born again, that's your birth. But now you're positionally placed. We've not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means my God, all right? The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does it do it? Well, you say, glory to God, hallelujah, it don't bother me, I'm a child of God, and go out and do the things that you do. The spirit will do the works of God. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. See? Does the spirit of God steal? Does the spirit of God cuss? Does the Spirit of God tell dirty jokes and lie and cheat? Commit adultery, commit fornication? No. No, it doesn't. So then who's doing that? Well,
From God identified by his characteristics, Brother Brown said, John 14:12, he that believeth, Jesus said on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now look, he that believeth on me, a true believer. The works of God, the works that I do shall he do also. Now notice, in other words, like this, he that believeth on me shall be identified by my characteristics, the works. Now, that's what he said. He said, if I don't do the Father's works, then don't believe me. And the Father spoke to the prophets, and that was their characteristics, their identification. So was it with Jesus, and promised it to him that believeth. My characteristics shall do in him just as it did in me. And if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, and you can't believe me, believe the works, because it's spoken of. It must be. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of who I am. That was Jesus. See, God manifested, showing himself. They testify who I am. That makes Hebrews 1:1. Now, God, who in sundry times spake by the prophets, clearly identifying the characteristic now of the resurrection of his Son. God spake by the prophets then, through his Son now. The unchangeable God, the same characteristics. The works that I do shall you do also. God's known by his identified characteristics. That's how you know. You say, well, I tell you this. We sing, and we do this, and we do this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Word made manifest and identifying this life, the characteristics of the promised Word for the age. Them Pharisees know that Bible as good as anybody else, better than any clergyman knows in our day. They had to live by it. Their great-grandfathers were priests. They studied it day and night. They failed to see the identified word. Today, Luther said, when you believe, you got it. And the Methodists, they say, when you shout, you got it. And the Pentecostal says, when you spoke in tongues, you got it. And we find all of that's wrong. Some of them said, by the fruit of the Spirit's got it, and it's wrong. The only evidence is when the vindication, when God himself identifies himself in the promised word of the hour, there it is, who had any more fruits of the Spirit than them kind old priests? Circumcision. Circumcise the children and bless them and everything else. And here this guy, Jesus, was, and he came around kicking over their sacrifice blocks, looked upon them with anger, beat them out, run them out, no identification of nothing. The scripture is his identification. He had no fellowship card. He belonged to no organization, but God spoke of him. That was his identification. That's the genuine identification of God in any hour is his identification. That's what it is. A scripture that's promised, made identified by the characteristics of the promise, which is God, and God is the word, and the characteristics of that promise being identified that makes the believer. Jesus says so. Notice the characteristics of that word spoken makes the believer. What's he talking about? Jesus said so, and that settles it. Amen. Notice now, we find out the characteristic identification, identify him. He said, if it doesn't do it, then don't believe me. Now, Jesus spoke that it would identify him. So what's he talking about? I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. There is a word for you and I. He had a word for himself. His ministry, he knew his ministry. Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:1-7, et cetera, et cetera. You have Romans 8. To be transformed, be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. You have Romans 8 to be manifested as a Son of God. You have the adoption, the spirit of adoption, Ephesians 1. There's many, many scriptures that speak of you in this hour. When are you going to step into it? When is it going to be no longer theology, but an actuality, but a reality? Remember, Brother Branham said that Moses, if he would have just spoke the word, nothing would have happened. He had to step into the Red Sea for the Red Sea to part. Because God said, speak and go forward. Then when God told him, he said, speak to the rock and the water will come. And Moses didn't speak to the rock. He took his angry hand and he beat on the rock. And then the water came out. That's why he didn't get to go in. Because he didn't will and do according to what God willed and do. He showed his anger with the people, constantly with the people, because the people, after time and time and time and time and time, seeing the supernatural God in that man's ministry, and then they pick up stones to stone him. They couldn't put a finger on his life, but they tried to stone him anyway. Because they disagreed with his doctrine. Let me tell you something. It's time we get to Hebrews 6 and go beyond the principles of the doctrine and get into the very life of Christ that comes out of the doctrine. It's time that we get this theological thinking and throw it out the door and let the life of the Word take over our life. So what promise of the age are we talking about? What promise for this age are you and I? What does the Bible promise to us as believers who were with Him before the foundations of the world? In order to be an adopted son, we must be always about the Father's business. We must be pleasing to the Father. You'll even find Brother Vail, do a search in his sermons. He talked about this all the time. It just went right over the heads of the people. Brother Rand talked about, look, 18 times Brother Rand preached, "Hear ye Him." And they preached some other sermons that were very similar to that. I counted one time 26 sermons. Brother Branham said it was his most popular sermon, most requested. People wanted to know, how do we get ready for the adoption? And he told us, and they didn't want it. From Christ to the mystery of God revealed. Now we see the promise being fulfilled. Christ, the true headship, coming in His bride, doing the works that He did at the beginning and making ready and fulfilling His word as He did in John 14:12. He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Then the head and the body are becoming one in works and in sign and in life. Vindicated by God Himself through His promised word for this last day. He promised this in the last day. Now, if you're spiritual, you will catch it. Notice He says, in works, in signs, and in life. You can't have the life without having the works and signs, because the life is the very nature. You understand? From Christ to the mystery, He said, you take up the hybrid corn. It's a pretty corn, but you plant it. What do you get? A little stalk comes up like this and turns yellow, and it wilts. When something turns yellow, what do we say? What do we call it? A coward. The hybrid can't come up. Just like Brother Brown said, they can't come up to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They always come up to the border, and then they stop. That's the way every denomination is when it's hybrids, that man's words mixed with God's words. It'll come up to the signs and wonders and what Jesus said about believing the word, and it turns yellow. And it says, we can't accept it, and we go back. Why can't we accept it? Because I'll lose my position. I'll lose my money, women, and popularity. That's what it all boils down to. From Christ the mystery, He said, now notice, and the Father that sent Me went with Him. The Father that sends, the Jesus that sends us goes in us. A little while and the world won't see Me no more, yet you will see Me. For I, personal pronoun, I, the person, Jesus, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. The works that I do shall you do also. Now go back and see what He done, and then see what you do, and then compare yourself. Oh, brother, sisters. If you are not born again and filled with His Spirit, if you don't have His nature, His life, and those words then ought to haunt you, for what can you do with them except to disbelieve them because you don't see the evidence of it in your own life? Now this brings us to the quote that helped me to turn a corner concerning what we're talking about here. It was from the Spoken Word's original seed, where Brother Branham said, paragraph 89, the works that Jesus did. If a man has a seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God. And if the same Spirit that was within Him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. You don't believe that? All right, let's turn over to St. John 14:12. You say, well, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God calls you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same Word of God. God's Son was His example seed, and what His life was when the Spirit poured out upon Him after His baptism and the Holy Ghost came upon Him, the very life that He produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost, will bring forth the same kind of a life doing the same thing that He did if it's the same seed. Now listen, Jesus was born with God life. Do we believe that? I believe it. And yet it took Jesus coming to the baptism of the Holy Ghost before one miracle was performed. Up to that point, hey, he had a pretty bright mind. He could argue with the scholars. But that's not what God wanted for him to do. That wasn't his ministry, to go argue. His ministry was to express the Father. And it took the baptism of the Holy Ghost for him. And then all the miracles began to come forth. All the evidence that it was God living in him. Christ in him, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. Then the works will manifest in him are the same, for it is the same seed, word of God. God's Son was his example seed, and what his life was, when the Spirit poured out upon him after his baptism, and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost, will bring forth the same kind of a life, doing the same things that he did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God seed. Now, shaming you women with bobbed hair. Shaming you preachers, denying that truth. Say, it's all right, hair has nothing to do with it, but God said it did. See where it's at? See, that's why I believe the word. It's a seed, and if the rain falls upon the seed, it will bring forth after its kind. What a blessed promise we have. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful. And Father, it's not that we just want to talk about it, but Father, I pray the people would manifest it. I pray the words, Father, that have been brought forth, the people would step into them and identify that they are truly one who was in you before the foundations of the world. And they truly believe that they have the Spirit of adoption in them. And that Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Father, Father. It's all about the preeminence. It's all about you, Father, having the preeminence in us. And we know that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. And I pray, Father, your people would step into that and begin to live that life, to sanctify themselves even as you sanctified yourself and gave up in your Son Jesus. He gave up being a husband and wife, being a husband and father. He wanted children, as Brother Bram said. He wanted to have a family. But he sanctified himself for the sake of the apostles. And thus, Father, help us to sanctify ourselves for that others might see Jesus Christ living in us. Help us to be what you called us to be. That super church, that super race, that God race. That race who has only, she will keep still. She has thus saith the Lord, or she'll keep still. She's coming to a time where she will have to speak the word. But she'll only speak what you've shown her to speak. And until that time, she won't speak. Help her to be that people that will manifest that third pull. For we know that they're coming upon this earth. And very soon it will be coming. There'll be troubles and trials like never seen before. We know that there's got to be a squeeze to come through. And Lord, we see just pieces, little pieces of it beginning around the earth. But we know it'll get greater and greater, and the tension and the stress and the trials and the strains will come more and more. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And at that time, your bride will shine forth, and people will see the ever-present Christ living and abiding still in human flesh. And this we pray and ask, that you would help us, O God, just to be what you ordained us to be. Adopted sons, conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, manifesting the same Son of God life that was manifested in your firstborn Son. This is our destiny. And so this is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.